Hey, what's up, SG Besties? This is the fresh SG Best, and I'm back for the rest. Today, I've got Paul Armstrong here, and we're going to be talking about how to cut the BS on financial advisor conferences. Woohoo!
Hey, everyone. This is Sarah, and welcome to my show. Woohoo!
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
Good. Paul's the founder of Inspiring Advisors in the UK and also the founder of the Back to Why conference. I don't know anyone who runs a conference. Pretty impressive, I must say. We're going to talk about what the pitfalls are of the conferences that y'all are going to, how you should pick a good conference to go to, and how you should advocate for change in the industry about these BS conferences that everyone is going to and is the norm in the industry across the world. Paul, take it away.
Okay, Sarah. So my Back to Why conference is, I've been told, possibly the only totally unsponsored financial planner conference, financial advisor conference in the world. Now, that seems a bit extreme to me, but that's what I set out to be. How it all started was, I have been a financial advisor, just a little bit of history, so you get the context of where this came from. I've been a financial advisor since I was 22. I fell into the job at the age of 22, and that was 38 years ago. So I'm now 60, and it feels like yesterday, but wow, how time flies when you're having fun. So I was a financial advisor then from 22 to about age 30. And then at age 30, my mother died suddenly, and it was a complete shock to me, complete shock to my father. And I then started recognizing my father, him saying things like, if only. If only I'd done this for your mom, if only we'd spent more time together, if only, if only, if only, if only. And I just started to realize that life's on a rehearsal, precious time is slipping away. And the grief in my father was absolutely immense. So I started to, first of all, change my own life on the basis of life's on a rehearsal. And secondly, I just started to tune in to how many people said things like, one day we want to do this, one day we want to do that. And I met with a client, and this particular client said exactly those things to me. One day we want to do these things, Paul. One day we want to do those things. And I suddenly almost shook the people and banged the table and said, what on earth do you mean by one day? Why not do these things now? Life's on rehearsal, precious time is slipping away. Why not do these things now? You've only got one chance possibly to do these things now. My father's lost my mom. He would love to do these things, but he's got no, his wife's gone. You're together, you've got money, but you're not doing these things. Anyway, to cut a long story short, what that happened was this client basically thanked me for nagging them and waking them up to this idea that they've only got one life. They were going through life thinking like they had forever. And I sort of snapped them out of that and made them realize that we've only got now to do stuff. And that's when I believe I started to get the message about what my real purpose was as a financial planner. And that is not to sell products on behalf of the industry, but to help my clients to get a better life. And more importantly, help those clients decide what it is they want out of life and the time they've got left on this planet. So I really started to then bring a real sense of urgency to the financial planning process. And I got good personally at being a fantastic, sounds a bit egotistical to say that, but I became a really good, like what I call lifestyle financial planner. And if I can just define what a lifestyle financial planner is, because all of this, you'll see why makes sense in my conference. Lifestyle financial planning is financial planning with an end in mind. And the end in mind is the client getting a better life. Okay, so it's not financial planning to solve a tax issue. It's not financial planning to get an investment portfolio constructed. It's not financial planning to organize a retirement arrangement. It's purely finding out what clients want in the time they've got left on this planet and facilitating, helping them to get the best life possible with the money they've got. So lifestyle financial planning is all about understanding a client's lifestyle requirements, both now and in the future, and ensuring that they get a great life without risk of running out of money or dying with too much. So that's what lifestyle financial planning is really all about. And I believe it's got three stages to that service of lifestyle financial planning. And so I basically adopted this lifestyle financial planning service proposition and differentiated myself from, I think, majority of financial advisors, because I was really focused on the client more than I was their money.
And their life,
absolutely. So my conversations were all about the client's life and their lifestyle. And my first meeting and discussion.
You mean it wasn't about their IRA and their 401k and the rollover and the plan?
Absolutely not. I mean, those things need to be attended to. But what I started to do then, to help my clients understand that I was different to most financial advisors, I explained to them that I wear three hats. To get the job done, I wear three hats. And the first hat is that of a life planner. The life planner's job is to identify where that client is in their life right now, how they got to where they are now. In other words, I'm interested in the client's story. What have they been through? How did they start their business?
People never ask that. Financial advisors, you never ask that. A lot of you never ask, how did you get to the point in the in your life where you are?
Absolutely.
So my
focus then was explain to clients then, I've got no right to talk about your money and tell you what to do with your money until I know about you. Okay, now that's a great way to position, well, to build trust in the client relationship. Until I know about you, I've got no right to talk about your money or tell you what to do with it. Became my mantra. And also my mantra became, who says you even need a financial product? Because this isn't about
that. That's gutsy. That takes guts.
Well, it differentiates you. That's a fact. Okay. And yeah. when you believe in the three hat concept, which is what I now teach other advisors, is the first hat then is that of a life planner. Understanding where you are now, how you got to where you are now, and when I understand that, then I will have earned the right to then ask about your future. Too many advisors, I think, start talking about clients' goals and what future they want without actually really having earned the right to do that. And the best way to earn the right and build trust is to be interested in another human being and their story. We've all got a story. And life planning then, I believe, is all about, first of all, understanding that client's story about where they are now and how they got to where they are now. And then, of course, it's understanding where they're trying to get to in the future. In particular, what sort of lifestyle do you enjoy now? And what sort of lifestyle do you want to continue to enjoy going forward? What sort of things do you want to do in the time you've got left on this planet? What do you want to do between now and the day you're dead in a box? Okay, that's what life planning to me is all about. It's keeping it real. Life speeding up the older you get. Life's on rehearsal. Let's get this found out. Now, what are you trying to achieve? So that's life planning. And then I would explain to my client that after I've done that and got to understand you and what you're trying to achieve, I would then put on my second hat, which is that of a financial planner. The financial planner's job is to identify all of the resources available to you now, all of the incomes, all of the expenditures, all of the assets that you might have now and also in the future. And then basically crunch all the numbers to help understand what's going to happen to that client's wealth over time. In other words, what does their financial future look like? Are they going to run out of money, which is a problem, or are they going to go to their grave with too much, which I believe is the bigger problem because it means you didn't do stuff when you had the chance to do so. Or are they just right?
So I actually do that. I do that with money. I mean, having this conversation helps me realize, like, I'm from a very frugal household and like I'm well off financially, but I just am. It's like so hard for me to feel okay with spending money on things that I don't need, but I kind of want to do. But to your point, like what am I saving it for?
Well, absolutely. And I think there are so many people that I had and took on as clients who had more than enough money for the rest of their life, but they didn't know that. They didn't understand that. And what I started to realize was that if you're going to be okay, if you're not going to run out of money, but you don't know that, how are you going to live your life? You're going to possibly miss out on opportunities to do stuff. You're going to work till 65 when you could retire at 60. You're going to spend money and feel guilty. There's a million and one things that can mess your life.
Well, the spend money and feel guilty part is what you could really be helpful with as a financial advisor. But yet it goes against the financial advisor model because that's how many of them get paid. They get paid on assets under management.
Correct. So, correct. Absolutely.
See, that's
absolutely
why they have an interest in the client not spending their money and not living their life.
Absolutely. And that's why lifestyle financial planning is a fantastic way to differentiate yourself against
But how do you make a living off of that if you're encouraging the client to draw down off their portfolio?
Well, you have to make sure you have a minimum fee that's profitable to you in your firm. Whether the money goes up or down, it doesn't really matter. As long as you've got your minimum fee being paid by that client and that minimum fee makes that client profitable.
Well, then what if they don't meet it?
If they don't meet what? Sorry, Sarah, what was that?
What if they don't meet the minimum?
If they can't afford to pay the minimum fee to make that client profitable, then you should be looking after them. It's as simple as that. I think the industry for many years, advisors have had too many clients they can't afford to look after, so therefore they don't. And over time, that's caused a really bad reputation for financial advisors generally, and we've got to put a stop to that. I believe that every financial planner, financial advisor should only have profitable clients. We can't have the profitable clients subsidizing the non-profitable clients because that's just totally unfair.
That's right. That happens a lot. Yeah. We had a whole show about profitability.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to this three hats then, okay. So financial planning then, in my view, involves lifetime cash flow forecasting to really understand on prudent assumptions where that client is heading financially. Are they going to run out of money? Are they going to die with too much? Or are they going to be okay? Are they just right? And the client needs to understand that. They need to be able to see that and believe what they're seeing as being realistic based on their own assumptions about what they're going to spend at various stages of their life. So that's financial planning, okay? And then after I've done financial planning and helped the client to see where they're heading financially and the challenges that may lay ahead, then and only then would I put on the third part of my third hat, which is that of the financial advisor. So the financial advisor's job is to then find the right product from the whole marketplace if they're independent, or from their stable if they're not necessarily independent advisors, but to find the right product to best suit the needs of that client's financial plan, which in turn will help serve the client's life plan. So that's what I call proper financial planning. Life planning, then you do financial planning, and then financial advice. Financial advice is what you do after you've done financial planning. Whereas, unfortunately, so many advisors go around calling themselves financial planners, but all they do is peddle financial products. All they do is advise on financial products or create portfolios of investments and so on, because that's where they think they get paid. I don't believe that. Clients get paid, well, they should get paid for helping clients to get a better life. That's what we should be paid for, through wise money management, focusing on the client's life first, and then the money serves the life, not the other way around. So these are some of my principles that I've been living my life by as a financial planner for 20 odd years. It served me well. I was able to retire early at 45, buy a lovely yacht and spend 6 months sailing and 6 months working from that point forward. And then other advisors started asking me, well, you know, can you teach me some of this stuff? And then eventually I ended up then being a coach to advisors. And I ended up creating this thing called Inspiring Advisors. So it's in the UK. It's inspiringadvisors.co.uk. Advisors, by the way, is the English spelt, ending ERS, not ORS.
Right.
Inspiringadvisors.co.uk. And this is like an online training program, helping advisors adopt some of my processes and language and scripts and terminology and methodology to get clients to really buy in to what I believe the financial planning really is all about. And then, so I built a tribe of followers over the years. I've also done workshops, live workshops with members and so on. And at one workshop, I was in the bar at the end of this meeting and having a beer with one of my members. And I was complaining about the state of financial conferences in the UK.
Uh-huh.
Every single financial conference in the UK, like I'm sure it is in the US, is sponsored by product providers, investment houses, pension
companies,
investment houses. And basically, financial advisors often go to these things for two reasons. One, they're normally often free or very low, cheap. And then when they're there, they fill their bags with free pens, free iPhone chargers, stuff like that.
And it's and it's always like in Las Vegas with the palm trees at like a gushy hotel. Like it's never in like Detroit in the middle of February.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's like vacation. It's like an honorary, it's like a glorified vacation.
And also, indeed, yeah. And also, then there's the awards dinner in the evening, and they've got celebrities giving out awards and stuff like that. And I was going to
free open bar. Open bar is always open bar. Okay.
And one day, I had to go to a conference, which is held by the Institute of Financial. I'll say that again without getting my teeth mixed up here. The Institute of Financial Planning in the UK. Now, the IFP, as it's called, the IFP, used to be the main distributor of this certified financial planner license in the UK.
Uh-huh.
In the UK, there's about 1,000 CFPs, but the majority of advisors don't choose to be a CFP. They choose to be a chartered financial planner. So that's why the CFP hasn't really got as many members over here as in other parts of the world, because there's other ways of being highly qualified. But the CFP, I went to this conference by the Institute of Financial Planning. The first time I'd ever been to a financial planning conference like this. And I was shocked and stunned to see the exhibition hall with all the product providers pitching their wares, the agendas most days. Several of the talks were product providers doing their fun pitch and their promotion of their latest new this or that. And I am absolutely appalled because I'm thinking, hang on a second, this is supposed to be a financial planning conference put on by the leading organization in the UK for financial planning. But in my view, it's not financial planning has nothing to do with financial products. The way I describe it to clients, that financial planning has nothing to do with any form of financial product. Financial products and investments are what you do after you've done financial planning. Okay, now that's just my mindset and my belief, but my belief has served me very well indeed, and now it's serving 500 or 600 advisors in the UK and around the world who also now are promoting this message as three parts of our job: life planning, financial planning, and if necessary, financial advisor, where you advise on investments and portfolios and risk profiling and all those sort of things.
Okay.
So these three hats really help the client to understand the stages of the job. So what then happened, Sarah, was this. I was in a bar with my one of my members, and I was complaining then about these conferences. I was complaining about these bloody conferences, which were full of product providers and so on. And this shouldn't be happening, I was saying. This shouldn't be happening. And this guy is a really respected member of my community. He turned around to me and said, "Paul, why don't you stop complaining about it all the time? We're getting sick and tired of hearing it. If you want to do something about it, why don't you put on your own conference with no sponsors, no product providers, no free pens? Stop talking about it. Just do something about it."
And he just, hallelujah, y'all.
He just looked at me with this way that said, "I dare you. I dare you." And I said, this is, by the way, two or three beers later. He said this after two or three beers. So I said, "Right then, I will, so long as you speak." Now, this guy was afraid of public speaking at the time, but I said, I'll put a conference on if you promise to be one of the speakers. Anyway, that was a birth of Back to Why. So I was committed to doing it. So what I did, I basically decided to make this conference a one-day conference, also including a drinks party afterwards that I was paying for. I bought the first drink, basically, but then I had to buy their own. And then a relaxed evening dinner in the evening for them to chat and talk about the day's events and just network with each other. So I decided to call it Back to Why, BACK, as in back, number two, letter Y.
So yeah, I'm putting it in the show notes. So everyone, okay, if you're curious about this.
So it's called backtowhy.co.uk is a website. And it's called Back to Why because the purpose of it is to help advisors get back to why we do the job.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why it's called
like
Back to Why.
See, I thought it was Back to You.
No, it's Back to Why.
Back to Why. Okay.
Yeah. So many advisors have lost the plot, and they spend most of their time talking about, thinking about, theorizing, researching financial products. And it's like, what's the money for in the first place, guys?
Okay, but so let me ask you about this, Paul. But like this conference, I mean, I'm looking at the tickets. Tickets are what, like, £547 UK, and then what is that in US dollars?
It's about $300 thereabouts. Between the ticket prices in dollars from the when they start going on sale to when they close is between $250 to $350 or thereabouts.
Okay, so you just make money off the ticket sales, right?
Yeah, so the only revenue coming in is from advisors who have to buy their ticket to be there. There's no free tickets. Everyone there is paid to be there.
Yep.
And the first one was members of my community, basically, advisors that I trained to deliver lifestyle financial planning. I picked some of the best ones and said, "Would you share your story? Would you help the audience understand what you've been through? The pains of changing from a traditional product-focused service proposition, which is dying, I believe, and how you've changed and transitioned to delivering a genuine lifestyle financial planning service where your service is all about helping that client to get a better life through the wise management of their money, rather than it all being about the distribution of financial products on behalf of the industry."
Okay, so what is the result of having conferences set up this way? What's the result been?
Well, the feedback from members who, from delegates who go there, who attend, has been brilliant, like a breath of fresh air, total focus on the client outcome rather than on latest new fund, you know, industry comment, economic projections about what's happening in the economy. It's none of that stuff happens. It's all about creating conversations, having better conversations with clients, asking better questions, listening skills, body language, all the sort of stuff that we need to have as financial advisors to connect with clients at a human level, which is important these days because that's the one thing that a computer can never do. An algorithm can never do what we can do as human beings.
The human element.
Absolutely. That's what needs. We need to get really great at that and create that human connection because that's where the value is. Helping clients to really think about the life they've got and the life they want and helping them think about the costs of funding that life and then helping them to understand what needs to happen to get and keep that life is where our value is. It's not in picking the best fund. Because I always say the best fund won't change a client's life, but lifestyle financial planning will.
Yeah. And so how do you think that the industry is impacted by having these BS conferences? Like over here in the US, we don't have anything like this. We just have these BS conferences where it's like the talks are sponsored. The, you know, there's an exhibit hall with all these vendors handing out all this BS crap. Like there's all, you know, everything, it's just so vapid. Okay. And it's so kind of pay to play. How do you feel the industry is impacted by having conferences like this?
I think it's just the way it's always been, isn't it really? I think this is where we need to wake up as financial advisors. If we're genuinely professional financial advisors, we need to wake up to a few hidden truths here because the financial world is being commoditized really fast. Robo is going to get more and more and more. Technology is going to take away the need for a traditional financial advisor. That's what's happening. But that in the past, that hasn't been the case. So I always explain to people that if you think about it, certainly in the UK, you have to remember that in the UK, commissions were banned several years ago. 2012, we had what's called RDR, the Retail Distribution Review, and that's where commissions are completely banned. So all advisors now have to be paid by supposedly transparent fees. Okay, now many of these fees are received as a 1% fee off assets under management, so I don't particularly like that model, but that's the way that majority of advisors charge, and they may not be as transparent as they need to be, but things are afoot in the UK now where transparency to clients about the fees they're paying is increasing every year. And I can see a day within the next 12 to 18 months where clients will have to agree the amount of fee year in, year out, and have the right to cancel that fee agreement. Well, I have already, by the way. But
But just to get back to the point, how do you feel the life of the advisor's outlook is impacted by having them, by going to all these BS conferences? How does that impact the mind of the advisor? Does that change how the advisor thinks about their job?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the industry's job is to keep advisors focused on the money because it wants to get the advisors to get hold of the money so the industry can make money off the client's money. So the industry has effectively, I think, the industry has used financial advisors, and financial advisors, many, have become pawns in the game of the industry. And I always like to explain that, you know, on the one side of the equation, we've got the industry whose job is to manufacture financial products and make as much profit as possible. On the other side of the equation, we've got clients who don't necessarily want financial products. They want a better life is what clients want. That's all they want really is a better life. They don't necessarily want financial products. But in the past, financial advisors, on the whole, have been employed by the industry to sell the industry's products to as many clients as is possible. That's basically how it's been. And when the industry is paying the advisor, sometimes clients can be quite happy about that because the advice appears to be free. That's where I think advisors have got away with a fairly poor service proposition, really. So if it's free, then it doesn't really matter how bad your service is. Clients are going to be relatively happy. But what's happening now is in the UK, clients are paying the fees. So therefore, the advisor service proposition has not got to revolve around the financial industry's products. It's got to revolve around what the clients want, which isn't financial products. It's a better life. So we need to change our shift. If we have professional financial planners, to realize that we're on the client side genuinely, and the industry is over there that we look to where necessary to find the right product, if one is required, to suit the client's needs. We're not on the industry side selling its products and being remunerated by the industry. Now, I know it depends on how advisors are remunerated, but as I say, my model has come from the UK, where advisors have to wake up very quickly to the fact that the client's paying them now, not the industry. And that changes everything, I believe.
Okay. All right, Paul, I think we're going to wrap here.
Okay.
This is all very good. Everybody, you can find information about Paul and about the conference in the show notes. Paul, just summarize. Give me the three key points that you want advisors to know that they can take away and use in their practices from what you've said.
I think the most important thing, the world is changing rapidly when it comes to money and money management. And the service proposition for financial advisors has got to change from the money to the client's life. That's the first thing to remember, really. And it's really, though, financial, I think clients on the whole, because of the reputation we've got, and because we seem to be advisors about money, it's natural for a client to think that that's what you're going to talk about. So I think it requires skills to ensure that the conversation is a little bit more meaningful than that, and it starts to focus more on the client and their life more than it does their money. And when a client experiences that, a meeting with a financial advisor where the conversation is not about their money, it's about them and their life and what they want out of life, that makes an amazing feeling for the client to think, this has never happened to me before. I'm speaking to a financial advisor here who's genuinely interested in me more than he is my money. And that, as I say, builds massive levels of trust. So that normally results, funnily enough, in the advisor doing a lot more financial services business because the client trusts them with all their money. So there's a weird thing here. When you take the focus off the money, as an advisor, you then tend to end up managing all of the money because they trust you implicitly.
But you got to take that risk.
That's
another takeaway. It's like, it's a little bit of a risk, but you've got to just have the faith that the person will see it and will appreciate it. And not everybody's going to appreciate that you're willing to be that way. No, it's not going to work every time, but most of the time it will. And the person will say, this person really cares. People see the sincerity and you end up better off for it.
Absolutely. So you end up with less clients who pay you more money, which is what we really want, I think, as advisors. We don't necessarily want more clients. I think we actually want less clients who pay us more money. So we deliver more value to them, a better service and a better outcome, being a better life. And more importantly, off the back of that, we as advisors get a better life as well, because we're following more of a purpose than it is. If your purpose is to help people to get a better life, that's a lot more meaningful than shifting financial products on behalf of the industry, you know?
I like it. I like that idea. Less clients, more profitable clients, deeper relationships. That's a message I think advisors, I like it, important for advisors to understand.
Yeah,
you do this with sincerity, taking the time to know them. Got it.
It's falling in love with the fact. I say falling in love with it, it sounds a bit weird. But when the penny drops, I think, and it certainly dropped with me, that this idea that life is not a rehearsal, precious time is slipping away, we all want a better life in the time we've got left on this planet. Advisors want that, therefore it's your life too, remember. But more importantly, every client wants that. Every client wants to be spoken to about what they want out of life most. What is it you're trying to achieve in the time you've got left on this planet? My job as your financial planner is to help you to get the best life possible with the money you've got, and that's my focus and my service. I will do the opposite to what most financial advisors do. I'll focus on you more than I do your money.
Rebel. I like it.
Rebel.
All right. Yep. Okay, Paul, I'm going to cut here. Thank you so much for being on the show. Everybody, please subscribe, rate, and review my podcast.
Absolutely.